Welcome to Crossing Church Podcast, your weekly dose of sermon messages.
Welcome, welcome, welcome once again to our Good Friday Easter meeting. Are we good? It's a Good Friday indeed, amen? And that's how we worship our King. That's how we remember him. That's how we pay homage to him. Come into his presence with the greatest thanksgiving in our hearts. How can you? I mean, how can you not? And one man, one moment, one cross, one Savior, and his name is Jesus. Amen? And all over the world this morning, it's the one thing that we all agree on, historically, is that this is the day. And tomorrow is the Saturday, and Sunday he came to life again. So there's an agreement across the whole globe this morning that today is Good Friday. And I loved what Brad messaged through to us this morning, is Jesus fixed what was broken at the cross for eternity. I love that, huh? It's going to be a great morning. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, welcome. Our deacons would like to give you a welcome card and just would like to be in contact with you and also give you a coffee. Is there anybody joining us for the first time this morning? Would you mind raising your hand? Welcome to you, sir. Welcome to you. We celebrate you this morning. Thank you for coming through and spending your Good Friday with us. For those that aren't aware, for the two of you, my name's Hilton. I'm one of the elders or pastors here at The Crossing. Brad and Sharissa Lane, who are lead eldership couple, send their love and greetings to everybody from Bulawayo Church in Bulawayo this morning in Zimbabwe. Brad and his entire family, so the three kids, they are all on an apostolic mission trip, and they're ministering this weekend in a church called The Rock Church, which is one of our partner churches through NCMI, and they send their love. The kiddies are also going to have a good time with us this morning. They're going out now, and they're going to go and look for two or three different characteristics of this morning and the character of Christ, what we find at the cross. So once they've found those two or three things, their symbols that represent this morning, then they get to join us again. So we've got to move quite quickly, and when you hear a little bit of a gentle roar in the background, that's the kids that have been released back to us, and then we're going to be able to participate with them in a treasure hunt, which is going to be really, really cute. They've looked forward to that, and we'll join them. But before that, we're going to spend some time in the Word. We've got communion to do together, and we've also got some delicious hot cross buns that have been prepared. So after the treasure hunt this morning, we're going to have some coffee and have some hot cross buns together. Amen. So, you'll see that set up before us this morning, we've got two interesting props. One is a jail cell that you can't miss. If you have missed it, we don't generally have this in our church meetings. If any church that you do go to has a massive jail cell like that, it would be quite unusual. So that is a jail cell, as you can see, and we wanted to have it as high and wide as possible to give the full implication of the message this morning. So that's a jail cell on my left, and on my right-hand side, we have the Passover table and our communion table. So for those that are tuning in through the podcast and through our web, just giving you that visual that this morning we have a visual representation of what today means, and one being the prison and one being the Passover. And we are on the day 6 of Easter, or as some may call it, the Holy Week, and today we refer to it as Good Friday. Interesting that we call it Good Friday, which is one of the aspects that we're going to be looking at a little bit later, is why do we call it Good Friday? And then tomorrow we'll all rest with our families, and then on Sunday morning we look at the resurrection of Christ. Ian's going to be sharing with us, so we look forward to that. Obviously, on a morning like this, there's so many details and so many aspects of what's the significance of this weekend. And you can really get so caught up in it all, in your love for Christ and what he's actually done. And I wish we had all the time in the world this morning, but we're going to try and cram as much in. And the best way that I saw to do it, honestly, was just to look at the viewpoints from the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and just how they saw what took place from Friday. And Ian will continue that into Sunday. And what they noticed about one of the most historical, if not the biggest moment in history. And what amazes me is, true to Jesus' nature, is that none of the accounts through the Gospels gives an impression that Jesus sat around telling them about what was going to happen to him, how he's going to die, and how he's going to be crucified. I don't know about you, unless I'm unique, but if something is tragic and painful and really, really, like you would be completely lost at that point of saying, guys, my friends around the table that we'll discuss just now, you can't believe what's going to happen to me this evening. And I think it's so true of Jesus' character for him to say, I'm not going to talk about my death. I'm actually going to talk about why I did it and who I did it for. And all the way through the Gospels, leading up to this Good Friday and leading up to Sunday, we see Jesus actually talking about the why he did it and who he did it for, more so about himself going into pain. So he mentions, I'm going to be in pain. My body will be inflicted, but I've done it for who, and this is why I've done it. And that's just what really stirred me as I went through the Gospels and as I understand the crucifixion and Good Friday. And what he was dying for and all of that. So, I mean, 700 years before this point, we see in Isaiah, first scripture that I want us to go to is, and I'll read it to you because of time's sake, is Isaiah 50 verse 6. 700 years before this point, Christ starts to point to himself through the prophets. And he says, I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. So, as I mentioned, I don't know about you, if you heard something prophetically spoken about you in that regard, I think you would start to talk about it quite a lot. And it's one of those things about Jesus is that he's not too worried about the pain that was going to be inflicted on him. He was really, really concerned that the disciples around the Passover table understood why he did it and who he did it for. And that's what he wants our attention to be focused on today, is that there's the greatest sacrifice of all time done for us. And why he did it for us was that we have been, for an eternity, caught in a place of a prison and caught in a place of slavery. And he's inviting us to the Passover table, to the table to feast with him. And he's going to show us that. So to just demonstrate that point, as I mentioned, I'm going to ask Chris to come up. And I'm going to put Chris into a jail cell, if that's okay. Anybody that's taking photographs or the podcast, don't worry, I'm not locking him in there. We're going to put Chris inside the jail cell. You're right there, Chris. You got a microphone. So inside this really big jail cell here, we've got a slice of bread for you that's been beautifully shrink-wrapped. Thank you so much, Puleti. That's very kind of you. But in jail, we don't get shrink-wrapped, to be quite honest. So that's your dry piece of bread that we've kept going for the whole night. And just to make sure you don't dehydrate, we give you half a glass of water. So that's really kind. And then
only
I'm going to
half a glass.
Only half a glass, okay. Yeah. One a day. That's what all you get. And we're going to keep you in there during the service. You all right there? Cool.
You're
going to
so
be
much.
Fine, Chris. I promise you. And to demonstrate, so this is who he did it for. Let me get practical here. This is who he did it for. Okay? Let's use Chris. This morning, okay? Chris inside the prison cell, that's who he did it for. Who did he do it for? All of us. We were all in that prison at some point. Those that are not believers here this morning, that's where we sat. Exactly like Chris, we ate dry bread, we had half a glass of water, not much life to us. Why did he do it? Why did he do it? Here we have the Passover table. At this table, on this day, Christ with his disciples, his closest friends, says, come and sit at this table. Come and commune with me. Come and fellowship with me at this table. So that's who he did it for, and this is why he did it. He wanted to take us into a place of relationship. So going from a place of imprisonment to a place of relationship. And thank you to Joy for setting up aspects of the Passover table. There's a lot of symbolism behind various aspects, and one of them is what I want to look at in our second scripture this morning, which is Mark 14, verse 12 to 16, if you don't mind turning there with me in your Bibles. That's Mark 14, verse 12 to 16. This little Madonna mic is quite something, let me tell you what. I feel like I'm about to break out into a little Michael Jackson song here. It's new, by the way, so I'm still getting used to the fact that I've got like this whole thing on my head. Anyway, Lord, Mark 14, verse 12 to 16. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, Lord, where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover? So he went to the two disciples. So he sent two of the disciples, telling them, go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you there. Follow that guy. Say to the owner of the house, he enters, the teacher asks, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there. The disciples left and went into the city and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they had prepared the Passover. So just visually speaking, if this were a full table of the Passover, you would have up in this guest room in the city a Passover table that had been prepared. So we start to get a picture of this Last Supper, of this meal that Christ was going to now spend with his disciples. And I know that this is aspects of our faith that we know well, but I'm just covering a couple of bases here, and then we'll drill down into a few things. And it, as I mentioned, would be really fantastic for us to, at some point as a church, just look at those areas of symbolic representation of things on the Passover table. But we just don't have the time this morning. There are emblems of traditional nature to the Passover table that I'd love to go into, but due to time's sake, we're not going to go there. A couple of them that I want to highlight, though, is that on the Passover table, in this picture in your mind, what I'd love you to see is that there's a lamb shank that represents the symbolic offering to the temple at the time. There's an egg on the table that represents a symbol of rebirth. There were different types of herbs like horseradish that represented the bitterness of enslavement that the Israelites would have experienced. There would be non-bitter vegetables on the table, a bit of parsley dipped into salted water, which represented tears. So as you can see, there is a table that is steeped in tradition up until this point, right? I hope I'm bringing that point across without diving too deeply into it. And then, of course, you would have the red wine on the table. So here they would reference in the Passover table that there would be four glasses, one and each one of them symbolizing different promises made by God to the Israelites. Then if we look at the most symbolic emblem on the table, which is the bread, the unleavened bread, that would represent the provision of God to the Israelites during their enslavement. And each of these symbolic items, honestly, would take at least an hour to unpack and go into. But for us this morning, the significance that we need to know is that at this feast of Passover, along with the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, was the first festivals God commanded by, the festivals were commanded by God for the Israelites to observe the commemoration of them coming out of enslavement and slavery from Egypt. And this table represented to the Israelites at that stage complete freedom. So every time that any of these Israelites' families would get together, they would celebrate aspects and emblems of the table to represent their freedom that they stand in. So it's hugely symbolic that we see the picture of freedom and slavery that the table represented. And I'll come back to Chris. I'm not going to leave him there. He's been briefed that, Shem, you can put your bread down, bud. Shem, you know, do you want to eat it? No. He looks so lonely there. And so the picture is that at this table, Christ is saying to us, which we all unpack in the scripture, is that here's the significance. Is the day before our Savior was crucified, beaten, stabbed, whipped. He was not concerning the disciples with all of that, but he was saying, remember this table. Just remember this table. You're going to need it. Once I've gone, once I've been crucified, once I've been hurt, once I've been beaten, once I've been bashed, remember this table. And it's hugely significant to us is that there's a remembrance of it. And so we look at also at Luke's account in chapter 22 of Luke, verse 14. Let's go there together. Are we good? Yep. It's a good Friday, I promise. It's a really good Friday. We're going to get there. You'll see. Just laying a foundation here of where we're going to go. So Luke chapter 22, verse 14, let's read that together. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks, and he said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, this is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. And so now we start to understand the symbolic representation is that up until the point, we know that Jesus came from a traditional Jewish home. He would have understood the Israelites' traditions. He would have understood that they saw the symbolic nature. They were even concerned as disciples to say, Jesus, just so that you can be looked after at the Passover, where do you want us to have your Passover table? He's like, don't worry, it's already been prophetically seen that there's going to be a room set up already, and there's going to be a man that's already set up a table. Don't worry about that. What I want you to worry about is that when we meet at this table, there's a new covenant, there's a new exchange, there's a crossover. And what we start to see here is that we're starting to cross over from things that hold us back, things that represented certain things in the past in our lives spiritually that are now crossing over to things of life and life for an eternity. And it's hugely symbolic to us that it's not just the red wine that represents his blood. That, of course, to us is what we fall down and are completely undone by, is that at the cross where he died the following day, his blood was shed. We understand that. That's deep within us. And the bread represents his body that was torn, beaten, ripped apart. That is the bread of life. We understand that. But of bigger significance, what he's saying here to his disciples is, at this table, where symbolically or traditionally we would have met for the Passover supper, I've come to be the Passover. And this is at that point where we cannot pass over the significance of that as believers in our hearts. And we know that the bloodshed, as we know, the Israelites were to paint the lamb's blood onto the doorposts as the last plague came through and killed the firstborns of each son. We understand that. So there's the symbolic nature of the blood at the table. And he's saying, as God protected you in that moment with the blood that was shed, I too, in my crucifixion, will be that blood that will be what will save you. And it's a beautiful picture that we start to see here. And whoever hid behind the blood of the lamb before in their traditional ways, whoever hid behind the legalistic aspects of what they brought to this table, he's now saying, I take that judgment away from all mankind and I bring a new covenant. That blood that I bring is what will bring you into a covenant with the Father forever. And so we start to understand in the partaking of the Passover bread, which we'll do just now, we understand the sacrifice is actually himself in Hebrews 9 verse 26, which I'm going to skip because of time and I want to get into a couple of other things. He willingly consented to suffer an excruciating death for us. His blood was not swiftly shed. There's the moments in the chapters of the Gospels where there's excruciating detail to how the blood was shed. And that for us is the torture that he had to endure, for the hours that he had to endure before he actually died. That in boring all our sin onto his body physically is what we see at the Passover table in this moment. The body of Jesus became an offering for all sins. Every single type of sin, every type of entrapment in our minds, every type of spiritual hindrance in our lives, Jesus, the body of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, every aspect of what we find at the Passover table, he is represented at that moment. And I'd love us to go to Hebrews 10, verse 10 to 14, if you can jump there in your Bible. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ, once for all, never to have to be done again. And we see there that we have been saved. All sins, every single sin offered at that point of Christ hanging on the cross, never, ever, ever to be done again. He's perfected us through that suffering. And the lamb on the table that the disciples must have been looking at had to be completely without blemish. So the traditional aspect of bringing a lamb to the table, it had to have no blemish on it. So Christ is that to us. Jesus, without a blemish, he was completely sinless, slain for our sins. The lamb had to be 1 year old, 1 year old in the prime of his life. So was Jesus in the prime of his life. He was sacrificed as a young adult. And you start to see the tables coming alive to you. Every house and each family had to have their own lamb. And everyone had to open up their own heart in what we understand it now, to open up their own heart for what Jesus has done for them and personally accept them as their Lord and Savior. So we see that As they did, they brought a lamb to the table. So we need to accept Jesus as our lamb in our hearts, and personally so. The Israelites weren't allowed to break the bones of the body, which I saw was quite interesting, not during the cooking or even during the eating. So Jesus' bones didn't get broken, not during the torture, the mockery. He had to endure moments before his death, and not during his crucifixion. The lamb died in place of the firstborn of the Israelites. So there's a significance of the old covenant and the new covenant there. Jesus died in our place, and we see that at the table. It's one of the most beautiful pictures. It's the thing that stirs our hearts, and it's what we cry out for. It's what we moan out for at a Good Friday such as this. He died on the cross in order to reunite us with God. The lamb opened a way to liberation for years of slavery for the Egyptians. So Jesus sacrifices us. He liberates us from bondage of sin. As Chris is sitting there now, not too sure what he's doing, starting to understand the magnitude of what I'm talking about, and the magnitude of what took place that day took us out of that imprisonment. And it's a hugely significant thing. The Christ is also saying to his friends, don't pass over this. There's something about him saying several times, remember this, remember this. You're going to have to remember this. You're going to need this when I'm gone. Observe this day. Observe the very hour that we're sitting here together. God commanded the Israelites to observe the day in the Old Testament ways, and now I'm instructing you for a new covenant to observe this day. So as Christians, as believers, this is a hugely significant day that we get together and gather. And he's taking us from a place of imprisonment and taking his body, everything that he bore on that cross, and he shed his blood like a lamb at the cross, and he's taking us over to the Passover table, and we come from a place of captivity to a place of freedom, and it's a beautiful thing. I want us to go to Leviticus 26, verse 13. God said in commemorating the Passover meal, remember this, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their slaves. How beautiful is that? I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, brought you out of a place that is keeping you captive, is making you a slave to things that are of this world, into a place, as he says here, that you are no longer a slave to that. And that's that song that's so beautifully written, is we are no longer a slave. We are no longer a slave of the things of this world. When we see Christ crucified, that took all our sins, he took all our pain, he took all our iniquity, and it hung on the cross in that moment, never to be done again, never to be repeated again. One moment in history, one moment in time, and there was one Savior who could do it. Only one lamb could represent that. Amen? Jesus at the Passover is saving my death. He's crossing me from death to life. And the blood represented in that is giving me a new blood. It's giving me new life within me. And that's what we see there. If you can go to your Bibles with me to Luke 14, verse 18. Are we starting to see this beautiful picture? It's incredible, huh? You're very quiet this morning, guys. Very quiet. Happy. It's Good Friday. Amen. Yes? Let's go to Luke 14, verse 18. Jesus at the Passover is saying, my death, my body, my blood. How's this? We'll pick up in verse 17. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it was written. Verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim deliverance to the captives. This is a prophetic picture of what God has sent to set us free, his son, Jesus, to proclaim deliverance to Chris in the cage there, to set him free as a captive, and what? And recovery of sight to the blind. How beautiful is that? To release the oppressed, to completely allow them to come out of what they're captive of. And he says, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Amen? And the Passover table, we see this freedom. And we remember that us, were slaves like that in the land of Egypt. And the Lord, our God, sent his son to bring us out of that place of captivity. And that by his son's name, we are completely set free. If you look at Deuteronomy 5, verse 15 with me, I'm just going to read it out. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. Remember that. And the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arms. We know whose arms he's referring to. You don't need to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. But his arms stretched out as he reconciles us in that moment. Jesus Christ reconciles us from a place of complete captivity, complete imprisonment, complete death. And the other side, complete life in us. Sit with me at this table, at this moment of our fellowship. God is reconciling man to God through his son Christ with these outstretched arms that's referenced and prophetically given as a picture in Deuteronomy of saying, Father, you love these children. They are your children. You don't want them to live in captivity. You don't want them to live on a slice of bread every single day. You don't want them to live on half a glass of water. That's not the abundance. That's not the life that you've called them to. Father, for your sake, for what you've called me to, my mission that I'm on is to reconcile this aspect of death to life. And through me at that cross on this day is when that happened. And it's hugely significant to us. And if that doesn't excite us as born-again believers, I'm not too sure what else ever will. Because at that point, every aspect of death is brought to life again. There's not one aspect of sickness, illness, disease, or sin that is not reconciled to the Father through Jesus Christ, made whole again, completely, 100%, without blemish, in front of Christ. At that point, it happened. Amen? Christ is saying, as the lamb that is to be slain, just as the prophets proclaimed it, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's saying, look, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's brought me here. He's anointed me. He's sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners, just like Chris in the corner there. Before his death, before our acceptance of Jesus, we are bondage and slaves to sin, just like the Israelites were in Egypt. Our freedom from the bondage of the sin comes from the complete sacrifice of Jesus Christ at the cross. That's why he says, remember this. That's why he says, commemorate my death. That's why he says, no longer are the things of this table going to be what you need to look at. What you need to look at is that when I am slain like a lamb, like this lamb on the table, that is what you look to me as. I am that lamb. I am the perfect lamb. Just like this lamb on this Passover table, I can imagine the conversation with Jesus might not be expounded upon and give me a bit of freedom here. Is every aspect of what's on this table, I bring to you at that point on the cross. And yes, as we drink of this cup, remember this, my friends. Remember this, my disciple, that you and I are one through this symbol of my blood shed for you. As you eat of this bread, as you drink of this cup, we are united in the remembrance of the pain that I went through to bring you from a place of imprisonment to a place of freedom. Amen? And that's why he says remember it. It's in the remembrance that we have spiritual freedom. It's in the remembrance that as we drink of that cup, we are continually sanctified, continually set free. But we, at the point of accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, at this table, we understand, we see our freedom is endless. We see that there's deliverance from every aspect of spiritual hindrance, and obviously symbolic of sin as well. I go to John 8, verse 34, very quickly. Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits a sin is a slave to sin. Whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. Whatever Chris did to get inside that cage and to get inside that prison, he committed. He actively did it as a sin. And the way that he's going to get out of that cage is to what? To remember this. To remember who died for him, why he died for him, so that he can be set free from that. Amen? And remember this, we forget, I don't know about you, but sometimes in relationships, we often forget the things we should remember and remember the things we should forget. Do you know what I mean? I'll say it again. We often forget the things that we actually should remember and remember the things that we forget, yeah, that we should forget. And this is, at this table, a good thing to remember. We should not forget this thing. Some things happen in our lives that we should actually forget about. The aspects of the imprisonment, the aspect of the enslavement that we are in, that's something you can forget about. But Christ is saying to us on this day, on this Good Friday, forget about that. I'm taking you from your past to your future. So in crossing over from death to life, forget about those things and remember this. Remember it. Daily remember it. That's the expression, is daily remember this. Because without this, got to go back to that place. Why? Because you've forgotten what we've been set free from. And you're remembering too much of the past as opposed to looking at what he's brought us into in our future. Amen? Without it, we are imprisoned. There's no hope. Good Friday, the Passover meal, his body, his shed blood, it's the beginning of our Christian walk with him. And the newness of life, the commitment, if you look at Romans 6 verse 4, I can't go there now, but life that is committed to walking in obedience with God. This is also an obedience thing. If God, our Savior, our Lord, if we call him Lord Jesus, if that's how we respond to him, then it's an instruction from him saying, friends, disciples, when we're at this table, in this relationship with me, please remember this. It's an obedience. We've got to do it in obedience, but not by law, not by duty, not by act of, I've got to get all these things right to get to God, to get the favor, to get the life, to get the newness. No, he says, just remember it. Remember it. Remember it in the relational way that I've taught you at this table. Relationship way that as a man, I would put myself up on a cross as your friend, and I would die for you. Remember that aspect. God's not saying, do this, do that, then you can get up to heaven and be with me. He brought his son down to us to make sure that we could see his love for us. Amen? Amen. This day and the next, and as we'll hear from Ian on Sunday, the crucifixion is a reminder of our freedom from this slavery made possible through the sacrifice of the perfect lamb, of Jesus. Romans 6 verse 17 to 18. But thanks be to God that you were the servants of sin. Give me a bit of freedom here. Slaves of sin. Captives of sin. Amen. But you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you and have been delivered from this place. And you became the servants of righteousness. When we see this table, friends, we see righteousness. We don't see the blame from before. We don't see aspects of our past that keep on reoccurring. Yeah, but because of this, because of this, because of that. No, it's because of this that we are set free. It's because of this that we remember we are free and free indeed. Amen? We are to consider ourselves completely, you'll see in Romans 6 verse 8, dead to sin. And we do not have to strive to obey and to please God. It's a relational thing from our heart. It's from our heart. It's from the abundance of our heart that when we remember this, that's why he's given it to us on a Good Friday and every other day of our Christian walk with him. He's saying, if you could just remember this on a daily aspect, you would see all of the death that I've brought you from into the perfect place and righteousness before you. We don't have to strive. We don't have to do all the things that the world requires of us. We don't have to go from things of religion in our lives to a place of relationship. Every aspect of what enslaved us, possibly even religious, is in the prison cell, and we move over to a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God came to us in order that we don't have to be lost. We don't have to sit there like Chris. Chris, how are you feeling, bud? Talk to me. Are you sleeping?
So, you are just been thinking. It's amazing that you're talking about oppression, talking about remembering the things that we should forget. Because I won't lie, like I'm seeing people look at me every now and then, and I feel exposed. I feel like my sin is out there. That everyone's not judging. We don't judge. But I feel like my sin is exposed.
Yeah.
Like I can't wait to get to the table.
It's good, huh? Amen, Chris. That's exactly it, huh? Amen, Lord. And it is that He is sitting there for me, and I can imagine, like Chris has just said now, you must feel a little bit entrapped. I mean, those are 3-meter by 3-meter fences around you. I know that you know the way out, but you, even though you are free, right, do you have an aspect of that you are closed in and that you need to get out of there, right?
Yeah, I feel lonely because I've got all these people out here and they're free. They can roam as they want. They can do what they want. I got Tracy looking a little sad.
Shame.
Sitting here looking at me a bit sad, and I'm like, yes, I can't get to her.
Amen.
So yeah, I'm feeling a bit like claustrophobic.
It's a beautiful tense. Picture, right? And don't you see that the symbolic, I mean, just the white being righteousness and blameless, and as we look at the blood and the bread and just the fellowship and a candle and some flowers and freshness and life and all these things that this picture represents to us with the enormity and the understanding of what is at this Passover table, can you see the juxtaposition between how dark that is to what he's actually calling us to? That if we understand this, if we truly grasp it, there wouldn't be a day, there shouldn't be a day that we don't ever sit and commune on this level with him to say, Lord, I remember this. We cannot pass over this day. Amen? Do not pass over this day. If we are truly, truly free, we've got to live in this freedom. Amen? Amen. And we go from a place of complete freedom. He prepares this table for me, the word says. From spiritual and physical poverty to provision. From loneliness. Chris mentioned that just now. He feels alone. We go from a place of loneliness to fellowship. This is not some kind of Disney moment that I'm trying to conjure up for you in any way, shape, or form. I'm talking about, friends, true loneliness, spiritual loneliness. A place in your life that you might be where it says, I'm so alone right now that I'm actually not too sure if I'll ever get out. The fellowship of the Passover table and the significance of Christ dying for us breaks us out of that place of loneliness that we will never, ever, ever be alone again. Amen. Complete freedom from loneliness, sickness, disease. And he turns what Chris has got there, half a glass of rationed water, to a place of wine, a place of celebration, a place of joy, a place of happiness with him. And at that cross, he purchased us. Every single thing that Chris is in that cage to pay for, whatever it is that he has to pay for, Christ came, purchased it, paid for it, and we get to fellowship with him. Amen? Don't know about you guys, but I'm like riled up by this concept and undone by the wonder of what we have at this table with him. We're taken from a place of complete persecution to a place of protection in his name. We go from a place of death to life. All the problems that are sitting in this cage, the highness of it, the width of it, how do I get out, when do I get out, those problems are brought as solutions, and the solution is Jesus, the one and only solution. From persecution to resurrection. Amen? The power, we'll hear on Sunday, of the resurrection sits at this table with us. It sits in the fellowship between ourselves and our Lord and Savior. From past to future, from being a peasant, I even asked Chris if I could put him into slightly poorish clothes, and he objected quite quickly. But looking at him as impoverished, looking at him as poor, not physically, but poor in spirit, and just downtrodden and lonely, poor, God says, as a peasant, as what this world has mucked you with, the mud and the grime that you've been rolling in this world, I come and I bring you to a place of sonship. I've bought you at the highest price from this place of imprisonment as a peasant to a place of being my son. And that is the air that we walk in on a daily basis. From being lost to being a follower. From not having a plan, having no future, to having a complete destiny in Christ and a future in Christ. And being prepared. From poverty to paradise. From religion to relationship. From punishment to freedom. That's what we remember. From coffin to life in him. You cannot pass over this, friends. If we had to walk out of here today and pass over this, it would be an aspect of disobedience to our Father. and to our Lord and Savior and saying, remember this. As we commune together in a moment, remember that. Remember the body. Remember the blood. Remember the price that had been paid. And we don't go there with a heart of saying, my goodness me, I'm still so useless. I'm still so lost. No, it's already done. If you are a born-again believer in this place, you've recognized, declared Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That is the freedom that we come to the table. We don't come to the table with bondage. We come to the table with freedom. Amen? And so to demonstrate this point, there's a wonderful song that Joy brought to my attention during this week and just in the Lord showing me various aspects of this message that I wanted to bring. And we're gonna put a song on in a moment, and we are going to ask Joy and her team to come forward, and they're going to sign aspects of the song that I wanted you to hear, which is a beautiful picture. And I want you to understand that this isn't a performance in any way, please. So actually, don't clap at the end. It's literally just a demonstration of the place that we come from and where we've gone to in Christ. So I'd love you to just take a moment, remember this. Remember what was said this morning. Remember what the Lord said is, as I have set you free from this place to this place, listen to the words of the song. And Joy, won't you come up with your team? That's the symbol of the picture that I wanted to show you this morning in remembering this table, in remembering Good Friday, in remembering his crucifixion on the cross. As you saw Chris walk across you. And Chris, what was going through your heart? What was going through your mind? I mean, it's...
Yeah, I wasn't prepared for that, but I got quite emotional.
I saw that.
And then also just looking back at them dancing. I don't know if you planned it that way, but I looked past my cage and I saw the cross.
Come on, come
I don't
on.
Know if you planned that, come but that's on. What I saw. So
that's beautiful. Amazing. Thank you so much, Chris. You can sit down. So this morning, I hope I've demonstrated it as much as what the Lord showed me to you from an aspect of this picture that I got of from a prison to a Passover. And I'd love us to give an opportunity to anybody this morning that has not come to know that freedom. I'd love that. I'd love us to just pause for a moment. Remember this, that if you're here today, in this moment, and the aspects of the freedom that we've been speaking about, from spiritual death, from entrapment, if there's those things that you are in this place today, say, you know what, Hilt? Yeah, that's me, huh? I want to walk in this freedom. I want to see the fellowship and relationship that you're referencing at the table and the communion that we're about to do. If that's you here today, without any shame, raise your hand up. Raise your hand up, and we'd love to pray with you. We'd love to pray with you. We thank you, Father. We wait on you, Lord. Let's remember this moment. This is a life-changing moment for somebody here today. If that's you, we want to remember this moment. We want to celebrate this moment with you. Amen. See that hand there. Thank you, Kimberly. Thank you, Lord. Remember this moment, the Lord said. Thank you, Lord. Is there anybody else here this morning that as you've seen this picture of coming from a place of imprisonment to a place of life in Christ, is that you here today? Amen. Thank you for that hand. So I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out right now because we're going to do communion together. But won't you do this simple prayer with me? And as believers and saints, we're going to stand with you because this is something that we celebrate. We celebrate that you've made a decision this morning to look to Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that you've seen the Lamb on the table, and we celebrate that with you. So saints, won't you stand with me this morning? I can see with the two people that raised their hands, I know where they are. Jesus knows where they are. And if they feel joyous enough after this prayer to come out, we will with pleasure spend some time with them. But ma'am and sir, won't you say this prayer after me? Jesus, I see you as the Lamb. I see you as my personal Lord and Savior. I recognize that I have sin in my life. I come from a place of death. But through you, as the Son of God, you have accepted me. I can walk into an eternity with you. And I'm free from every shackle, every sin that has enslaved me. And I walk with you now, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. I see you as the Son of God. And I believe that you died for my sins. In Jesus' name. Ma'am and sir, I celebrate you this morning. We thank God for you. The scriptures say that the angels rejoice, the heavens rejoice at the salvation of one. So, sir and ma'am, we rejoice in your salvation this morning. We'd love to spend some time with you. I'm now going to ask you to come to the table. There's a symbolic reference. Chris and Ian, if you don't mind just moving the table into the middle for me, it would just make it easier. I invite you this morning, friends, to come to the table. There's a symbolic reference of stepping out. And as we come to the table, remember this. Remember the blood that was shed. Remember his body that was broken. Remember it. And as you go back to your seats, or you're welcome to gather around here, there's no rules here. There's no game plan here. There's no pre-rehearsed way of how we're going to do this. All I'd love you to do is come to the table. Come to the table of forgiveness. Come to the table of grace. Come to the table of complete freedom in our lives. Come forward. Thank you, Noel. You can give us some music there. Come forward. You can hang around here. You can pass by here. I would not pass over this. I would make sure that you get something and you hang here. And we're going to pray together this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Come and taste and see that the Lord is good.